The kind of training you will undergo is still in its developmental stages, but it's a combination of good old U.S. military know-how, commando survival and fighting techniques, and some of that oriental martial art ninjutsu thrown in. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, to celebrate Independence Day, we are here to review Phantom Raiders, starring Miles O'Keefe. And joining me here today for the review, he's a man of many talents, author, podcaster, editor, correctional officer, amateur fighter, and also my brother, Brian Knight. Brian, welcome to the show.
Well, how spectacular of an introduction is that? It's about as good as a Wikipedia page. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it was very thorough. I wanted to make sure I covered all my bases. You've listened to this show before, Brian, so you know that here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. Do you feel up to that challenge today?
We're going to do it. I think this is going to be a good time.
I think so. I want to make sure, though, before we dive into this movie that definitely everybody has seen, that we get a moment to hear from you about your book and your podcast, because I know those two things go together. So tell us a little bit about your projects.
Yeah, I put out a book about eight, nine months ago now. It's called Many Men. It's a book about masculinity and what that looks like in or could, perhaps should, look like in today's culture from a biblical lens. So that's available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble's website. So that was something I had wanted to do for quite some time. So I was really happy to put that out. It was a lot of effort to finally hit the publish button and not have Amazon reject my cover for like the 18th time. Very happy with that. And then I have a podcast.
You gotta,
It's called the Battle Pen Podcast. I haven't been able to really keep it up with it as I would like to. I don't like the excuse that I don't have time. If something is important enough to you, you'll find time to do it. I just haven't designated the proper time to do as many episodes as I would like. But it's a branch off of that. My book's just shy of 100 pages, so it lets me flesh out a couple more of those thoughts that I kept brief in the book. And it's also another avenue in which or a medium in which the whole philosophy gets out there, right? A book is on black and white on pieces of paper. And we have this great thing called the internet that travels the world. So I was happy to start that up a few months ago.
And listeners, there'll be links for both of those in the description of this episode if you want to check either of those out. And at some point, we'll have Brian back to talk more about his book, because I know a little bit of some of his research process, and a lot of the books that you read in preparation for this book kind of touches into this martial art world, some of the classics of this literature, of the martial art literature. So we'll have to have you back at some point to tell us more about the book and your process as well. But rather than talk more about classic literature, let's talk about a cheesy 80s B flick. This movie came out in 1988. This is at a point in time where we are making a lot of ninja movies here in the West, and we're very comfortable also with making movies with the Vietnam War as a backdrop, just as a kind of as a way to set the table a little bit. This movie came out in 88. So does the third Rambo film. So we already have all three of those movies. Platoon has already come out. So we've gotten to a point where we're comfortable talking about the Vietnam War in film. This movie seeks to bring both worlds together of the backdrop of the Vietnam War, this the story taking place just after the Vietnam War has ended, and the world of the ninja. Brian, how do you think this movie does bringing these two worlds together of military combat, because that's why we're doing it here today on Independence Day, and also ninja?
Well, I certainly think it's an awesome concept. Now, as to the relation between military tactics and like the physical tactics, physical hand-to-hand combat things, how that correlates into communism and their combative system, whether that is more a realistic look or something of Hollywood lore, I don't know from a historical perspective, but it's an entertaining thought for sure.
It is an entertaining thought. This movie is just pure adrenaline. 90% of this movie is just long sequences of shooting and explosions. I actually came across this bit of trivia on IMDb that the average film script is about 120 pages long. And one page of script is supposed to be about a minute worth of a movie. So 120 pages, that's about 2 hours then, right? The script for this film was only 30 pages long. And this movie is an hour and a half long. That's how much additional filler of just explosions and shooting go into this movie.
It is. It is certainly action-packed. And then there's not too many lines in it either. There is some dialogue. But certainly a lot more action sequences with theatrical music accompanied with it. So I'm not mad at it at all.
That's true. As long as you know what you're getting yourself into, you'll be fine with this movie. If you're expecting some like high quality war film, no. Or a high quality ninja film, no. But as long as you know what you're getting yourself into, it's a fun ride.
Certainly. It's utterly outrageous. And if you buckle in and you accept it's utterly outrageous, then you can't not like it for sure.
So the story of this movie centers around a Green Beret who was presumed to have gone missing in action, but actually has started this militia terrorist group of ex-Viet Cong and has taken over this little bit of Vietnam somewhere in the jungle. They've got like a little encampment. This turns into the U.S. government seeking out the help of Miles O'Keefe, who is playing the character Python Lang. And for those of you out there who have ever seen the movie Escape from New York, he's basically Kurt Russell's character, minus the eye patch. I mean, Kurt Russell's character is even named Snake Plissken. Like that, it's clearly what they are going for here. Python is given the task of recruiting three Vietnam vets plus the son of the Green Beret to train them in ninjutsu and go back into Vietnam to take down this terrorist group. I think the training sequence is probably about the best part of this movie. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I did enjoy kind of the initial hand-to-hand combat portion where I presume it's the U.S. soldiers are captured and they all die eventually. Hmm. The hand-to-hand combat portion there is questionable. Again, entertaining, utterly outrageous. If you're fighting for your life, I would be slicing elbows left and right, not hammer fisting a collarbone by any means. So I do enjoy that part. But the training sequence is awesome. All of the booby traps and the trip lines and the explosions and the zip lining and the hip fire of the gun and hitting everything. It's a good time.
this opening sequence that Brian is referring to, as this militia is taking captive random U.S. spies who are trying to like figure out what's going on here. They have them. There'll be like one guy tied up to a post with a machine gun pointed at them and a rope tied to the trigger. And the other rope is tied to a fighter. And if he gets so far, he shoots the guy tied up to the stakes behind him. It's wacky. It's a very wacky, like, no one was actually doing this. This is not an actual form of torture or anything, but it's wacky. It sticks in your head, and you're right. If you're in this kind of situation, you're doing like slicing with the elbows, not just like, it's like the big wrestling, like hammer throws over and over again on their backs. But it's a cool way to start the film. My version, totally. I have the DVD.
Very good.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to comment more towards the survival of the situation, right? Slicing elbows,
okay.
Gouging eyes, chopping throats. It's a good action sequence, but if my buddy's tied up and I need to take care of business, I would have opted for some other techniques for sure.
Maybe it's very clean. Yeah, it's very clean fighting. There's no eye gouging, fish hooking, nothing like that. It's very, as you said, in a survival situation, you're going to be fighting way dirtier than what they were doing. You watched this on Tubi, right?
For the free 99. Yes, sir. We don't give away free advertisements on here, I don't think. But Tubi, it's free as of now if anybody wants to watch.
Right. I have the DVD. I'm curious. So when I pop this bad boy in, the movie opens. It's almost like a trailer where it shows you what's going to happen in the movie. And then it just seamlessly starts into the movie. Is that how it worked on Tubi?
No, it jumps right into the action. That's an interesting DVD setup.
It was like, and I knew it had to have been a trailer because, again, it's like showing you stuff that's going to happen in the movie. And then it just keeps flashing Phantom Raiders on the screen. And then eventually it just like starts with the guys being captured and doing the fight sequence. I'm like, I always forget anytime I've watched this movie that that's how it starts with my copy. It's weird.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's fitting for the film. I mean, the two words that have stuck in my head, if I was a movie reviewer, I was going to write a little tidbit of it on IMDb. It's utterly outrageous. That's what this film is. And if you embrace that, it's a good time.
Well, I have another review for you, and I think it fits well. The reason why I have a copy of this is because a buddy of mine sent me a Christmas card when I was in high school, and this was in it. This was in the Christmas card. I don't know why he gave me this movie, but it was in there with the card, and on the back here of the paper sleeve, it says, "It's not that great, but it's something, yo." That's a pretty fitting review, I think, as well. It's not that great, but it's something. It sticks with you for sure.
Did you happen to catch on IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes or anything? Have you seen like the reviews of it? I didn't look into it that deeply. I wonder what the general consensus of the film is.
I didn't look it up on Rotten Tomatoes. I might be able to pull that up real quick right now, though. But when I was on IMDb and I stumbled upon that bit of trivia, I want to say out of 10, it has a 3.8 rating.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So like a 30, almost 40% at least on there. I can't imagine Rotten Tomatoes being that much better. You can get it on eBay for $2. In case anybody was like itching to get, I can't find it on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Maybe I'll post that on Instagram. You guys could check that out over there. Brian, you have trained in ninja martial arts. both of us have trained in Nimpo Taijutsu. And I've talked about here on the show before how much pop culture and even within the martial art community, like, we have really depicted the ninja in a way that I think oftentimes is what we want it to look like versus like actual historical ninja. Even within the martial art community, I think a lot of times it's been more so wanting to make it a certain way versus what is actually like historical. Obviously, this movie is not a good representation of ninjutsu. There's a scene where a guy is doing back handsprings while someone is shooting at him. It's something straight out of Power Rangers, but it's not that. That's not ninja, you know? Do you think, would you, as somebody who has also trained in ninja martial arts, would you agree that at times we prefer like the legend of the ninja and all the mystique and the weapons and all that versus like historical ninja?
Certainly, I think it's that way for a few reasons. I think it's romanticized. It's characterized in that manner because it's maybe easier to digest. And it's perhaps it's more entertaining that way, certainly, right? With the ninja stars that, I mean, like there were flashbangs that were like this big that I threw and he dropped. And I thought those were really cool. Obviously not something legitimate though. So it is interesting, but I don't think it's unique in that sense, that we take something from history and we make it, we lure it up. We fantasize it. We romanticize it. Whatever the word you want to use there. Even with my book, since we mentioned it earlier, with the Spartans and the Vikings. And yes, some of the stuff that is thrown around now is true. But a lot of it is caked up for the sake of entertainment, I think. Perhaps not malicious in any way, but just not historical.
Yeah, I've heard that's also true. I think ninja is real.
I don't know if you can hear me, but you froze on my end.
Okay. We just had some... We're back. All right, we just had some strange technical issues here, so I might have to kind of tidy this up in post a little bit, but we are still recording, so I will tidy this up later. Sorry, listeners, but I think the point I was trying to make mid-conversation when my computer took a poop was we see this a lot with ninja, but I've heard it's also very true with samurai as well, that especially like in literature with books like Hagakure or Bushido, The Soul of Japan, that they are considered classics within the like martial art book world, but are also very fabricated isn't the right word, but it relies heavily on the folk history, the folk stories, and presents it more as historical fact. When we don't really know, there's just times where we're just kind of like filling in the gaps with stories. And there's a place for that, I think, a little bit.
Certainly. And the use of it in this film, to kind of work off what I said earlier, I don't think is to misrepresent it. I don't think it's a malicious use of it. I think it's an action use of it, that we're going to combine the best of everything to create the most dangerous, most lethal commandos we can to take care of this bad guy. So I think it's a good look for the movie.
And I guess if you're going to go with any martial art, reaching for ninjutsu isn't too big of a reach. Although the application is silly at times. You brought up the ninja stars that have like flashbangs on them and other things. But like
the ninja were known for their stealth. They were assassins. You know, this, that's like actual historical fact. So to have these guys go into like a guerrilla warfare setting, this like almost like espionage kind of mission, trained in a martial art that is about that, you know, about being stealthy, like, okay, that is a logical one to reach for.
Yeah, but to slap on the all black ninja skin tight suit and the presumably grossly outrageously hot jungles of Vietnam, I don't know how applicable that is. So you have to suspend some imagination for this movie, certainly. For all of it, really. But overall, I mean, it's utterly outrageous. That's just what it is.
You brought up your favorite scene. I wanted to quickly bring up mine, then we'll start bringing this episode to a close. I really like the part in the training sequence when they're throwing the shuriken for the first time. And the one guy drops his shuriken, picks up a rock and throws it at the target instead, like knocks the head off. And then when they get to Vietnam, He's trying to throw the shuriken and he's missing by a mile. So he just picks up a rock and throws it at the guy instead. And that works. That was actually like a really well-written setup, punchline, callback. That was actually good writing for this movie.
Yeah, yeah. You don't get a lot of, if you want some story, if you want some character building, if you want any of that kind of value out of the characters, it's not in this film. The main character, I mean, outside of his stunning looks and his immediate presence as just a masculine threat to society, you don't get much character development at all, or story for that matter. But yes, if you did catch that for the one thing that the film did bring for kind of character story development, that I could appreciate that.
I can appreciate that. All right. So would you watch it again?
Yeah, I did watch it on my lonesome. It's definitely a dude film.
It is.
So if you're going to have a dude night, or if you're just hanging out by yourself to do dude things, and you want to kill an hour and a half, by all means, I would recommend it.
It is a dude film. Back when I was in high school and Brian and our other brothers were in middle school, it was usually on a Friday night after our parents went to bed, we would stay up, play some video games and watch these like dude movies. You went through a whole Bigfoot phase and we watched all the Boggy Creek films during that time. I think that's when we watched Ultraman, I think.
Yeah, you know, that would probably be something of value to jot down sometime to try to recollect all of the nonsense that we've watched over the years and compile it and rank it, perhaps.
That would be a fun one. Yeah. I'm pretty sure when I came home from college, you guys were like, sit down, we want to show you One Punch Man. And that was my introduction to One Punch. You guys had already started watching that one. But our time is just about up for this episode. So, Brian, one more time, where can people find your book?
Many Men is available on Amazon, and I believe it should still be available online via Barnes & Noble. You have to order it there, and then you can pick it up in store.
Right. And again, there'll be links for that and Brian's podcast in the description of this episode. Thank you all for listening, and thank you, Brian, for taking 2 hours of your life, an hour and a half to watch, and 30 minutes to talk about it. Listeners, if you want to keep up with the show, you can follow Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party, and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY. That is it for today's episode. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where we have definitely delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less. Just as much high-flying action as this movie has. And served up some wisdom, one slice.